Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. We want to remind everybody to join us here every week, pretty much, at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to chicagopublicradio.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Now, though, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT if you want to play our games in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Mitch from Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia.
I know Bryn Mawr, home of the famous Women's College.
What does Bryn Mawr mean? What is it? Is it Welsh or something?
Yeah, it's a Welsh name, and I think it was given to the area by the railroad, that the railroad magnates built their robber baron mansions along here.
That's what Bryn Mawr means?
I actually don't know what it means.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's Welsh for ostentatious home.
There you go, along the track here.
Yeah,
the right side of the track.
Well, welcome to the show, Mitch. Now you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Mitch's topic?
We are standing on the shoulders of midgets.
So, from a young age, we're taught to revere our ancient ancestors for their enormous coliseums, their pyramids, their hanging gardens, their amusing religions. But what if the wonders of the ancient world weren't so wonderful? Our panelists are going to tell you about some recent discoveries that show our forebears weren't always so impressive. Choose the true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine.
Okay, I'm ready.
You ready? Okay, first up, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
Manuscripts recently unearthed by the Mykonos Museum in Athens revealed a tawdry past for the statue that has become known as the Venus de Milo. Professor Andreas Frangidakis announced this week that he had translated an ancient document that described the statue as having been a kind of marquee for one of the city's most notorious brothels. The writing describes a statue just like the Venus, Frangidakis said, right down to the slouch in her shoulders, as having been a kind of trademark for the House of Aegetus, the most luxurious brothel of Athens. Also, Frangidakis' research has solved the mystery of at least one of the de Milo's missing arms. It was pointed at the front door.
The Venus de Milo turns out to be the ancient world's equivalent of a big neon sign pointing to a house of ill repute. Your next story of the ancient world making an unimpressive mark comes from Amy Dickinson.
An analysis of Paleolithic cave paintings reveals that a lot of the art created 10,000 to 35,000 years ago was actually done by dirty-minded Stone Age teenagers. And guess what? Judging by their subject matter, not a lot has changed. The paintings are of bison, horses, and lions, and they look like they've taken some major hits in a sort of ancient, graphically violent video game. Plus, of course, the crude drawings of huge-breasted women. That's right. It seems that Pleistocene boys had a thing for prehistoric Pamela Andersons. Dale Guthrie, who presents these paintings in his new book, The Nature of Paleolithic Art, says, "These were not the type of paintings that make it into coffee table art books. Certainly not back in the Pleistocene epoch anyway, because, as we know, they didn't have coffee tables or books."
Beavis and Butthead in animal skins. Your last story of a less than wonderful ancient wonder comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Cyril Pentdemiston of Cambridge University says he has solved the age-old mystery of the Sphinx, and he confesses it's rather a letdown. Turns out the Sphinx was the mega-monumental equivalent of "your mummy wears combat boots." An insult, in other words. According to hieroglyphics newly deciphered by Pentdemiston, Sphinx is a contraction of Esophanax, an archpriest of Sun Ra, who boasted that his own powers combined those of several animals. The pharaoh, finding this a bit much, ordered the overweening priest to be eaten alive by several animals. The resultant dung was collected in a casket and buried in the sand. And over that spot was erected a mock monument, shaped like several animals, the Sphinx. What vandals, or possibly partisans of Esophanax, have since then knocked off the Sphinx's face was the floppy-looking muzzle of a camel.
All right, then, here are your choices. From Charlie Pierce, a discovery that the famous Venus de Milo statue, the beautiful woman with no arms, was really just an ad for an ancient brothel. From Amy Dickinson, a discovery that a lot of those cave paintings that we've so admired turn out to be just done by teenagers with dirty minds. And from Roy Blunt, Jr., a discovery that the Sphinx might have been, of all things, just a large insult aimed at someone the king did not like. Which of these is the true story of a disappointing discovery of the ancient world?
Well, number three, the Sphinx just doesn't ring true to me. Now, I really want the Venus de Milo to be true, but I don't think so. I think I'm going to go with the cave Farrah Fawcett poster.
All right, then. Well, we actually spoke to the researcher who made this interesting discovery. Here he is.
There are two main themes in Paleolithic art. One is the large mammals, and the other is erotic art, and it's often very crude, very similar to what you find in the boys' restroom stalls in middle school.
That was R. Dale Guthrie, professor emeritus at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, insulting the heck out of Paleolithic artists. Congratulations, Mitch, you got it right.
He may have been insulting Paleolithic artists, but he got middle school boys right on the nose.
That's true.
He really nailed it.
Yeah, I got it right because I have a middle school son named Matt. You know who you are.
Yeah. And you know that if you gave him a cave and nothing to do and some...
And a
know,
Sharpie.
And a Sharpie. You know what would end up in the walls is what you're saying.
Room.
Yeah. Well, you have earned a point for Amy just for being truthful. And you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.